أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم. تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون. إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون. وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم. إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون. إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون. قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء إن أنتم إلا تكذبون. قالوا ربنا يعلم إنا إليكم لمرسلون وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين. قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم. قالوا طائركم معكم أئن ذكرتم بل أنتم قوم مسرفون. وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون. أأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون. إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين. إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعون. قيل ادخل الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. وما أنزلنا على قومه من بعده من جند من السماء وما كنا منزلين. إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم خامدون. يا حسرة على العباد ما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون. ألم يروا كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون أنهم إليهم لا يرجعون. وإن كل لما جميع لدينا محضرون. وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون. وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وأعناب وفجرنا فيها من العيون ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملته أيديهم أفلا يشكرون. سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون. وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون. والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم. والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم. للشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون. وآية لهم أنا حملنا ذريتهم في الفلك المشحون. وخلقنا لهم من مثله ما يركبون. وإن نشأ نغرقهم فلا صريخ لهم ولا هم ينقذون إلا رحمة منا ومتاعا إلى حين. وإذا قيل لهم اتقوا ما بين أيديكم وما خلفكم لعلكم ترحمون. وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين ما ينظرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون فلا يستطيعون توصية ولا إلى أهلهم يرجعون ونفخ في الصور فإذا هم من الأجداث إلى ربهم ينسلون قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم وامتازوا اليوم أيها المجرمون ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون ولو نشاء لطمسنا على أعينهم فاستبقوا الصراط فأنى يبصرون ولو نشاء لمسخناهم على مكانتهم فما استطاعوا مضيا ولا يرجعون ومن نعمره ننكسه في الخلق أفلا يعقلون وما علمناه الشعر وما ينبغي له إن هو إلا ذكر وقرآن مبين لينذر من كان حيا ويحق القول على الكافرين أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما فهم لها مالكون وذللناها لهم فمنها ركوبهم ومنها يأكلون ولهم فيها منافع ومشارب أفلا يشكرون واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة لعلهم ينصرون لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون فلا يحزنك قولهم إنا نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون أولم يرى الإنسان أنا خلقناه من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفمن يعلم أنما أنزل إليك من ربك الحق كمن هو أعمى إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب الذين يوفون بعهد الله ولا ينقضون الميثاق والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, last week we were discussing these ayat and these verses of Surah Ar-Ra'd. We discussed to some extent the first part in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى. The person, I'm just giving you the gist, not the exact translation or meaning or tafsir, that can the person who knows that what has been revealed to you is haqq, that means the Quran Sharif is haqq, the revelation is haqq, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed upon you that which is haqq, can that person who knows that be like the person who is blind? I explained that this blindness does not mean the physical blindness, we are referring to the spiritual blindness. That there is a spiritual blindness also, just as there is physical blindness. Physical blindness, there's great, great rewards. Companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, some of them were blind. Some sahaba, they lost their sight in the battle. Some of our great, great akabirin, due to their reading and their writing in those lamps, the light of the lamp, sometimes just the candle, until late night they were doing their reading or their writing, so it affected their sight and some of them went blind towards the latter part of their life. So obviously it's not referring to such kind of people. We are talking about the spiritual blindness, that the person who is spiritually blind, then he does not see haqq. He does not have the ability to differentiate between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong, between good and bad, between haqq and batil. He cannot differentiate. He becomes blind. We also use that terminology. We say that if you're blind, can't you see? Now we know the person got sight. And so this is spiritual blindness that we are talking about. So Allah Ta'ala says both of them, can they be equal? They cannot be equal, it's obvious. But then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala informs us that who takes nasihat? Who is the one that takes admonition? Who is the one that heeds the advices? We can have the Quran Sharif recited from the beginning to the end, but who are those people that will take some nasihat? Therefore, if you look at the very beginning of the Quran Sharif in Surah Baqarah, so they, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is hidayat for those who are muttaqeen. The Quran Sharif, there's no doubt in the Quran Sharif. If a person has any kind of doubt, the deficiency is in his own understanding, his own stupidity, his own lack of intelligence. So therefore the person has doubt. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala informs us there's no doubt. But then hudal lil muttaqeen. It is a guidance for those who have got taqwa. So they already got taqwa, they are muttaqeen. So then what is the purpose of guidance then? The Quran Sharif, if it is guidance only for the people who are muttaqeen, then what about all the rest of the people who got no taqwa? Will it not be a guidance for them? Now this was a very difficult thing to explain. Lots of people tried to explain it, a lot of mufassirin explained it, but by example certain things become very easy to understand. So Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that how simple it is to understand, because he was addressing some students. He said that if I have to say that this course, this syllabus is for the BA graduates, This syllabus here is for BA pupils. Those who are doing BA, or we say this is matriculant syllabus, or we can say any other syllabus. So does it mean that first you have to be a matriculant, then you will be able to benefit from the syllabus? Does it mean that first you must be a Bachelor of Arts or Medical Science if you are doing whatever the syllabus? Then first you must be a medical scientist. Thereafter you will be able to understand it. Obviously it doesn't mean that. What it means that if you have to do this properly, if you have to listen to it, if you have to apply it, if you have to absorb it, if you have to understand it, and then you give your examinations, then you will be a matriculant. Then you will be a graduate. So the Quran Sharif is hidayat for all, but who is going to really benefit? The people who are going to really benefit are those people who have got taqwa in them, or they're making the effort towards taqwa. So like that, ulul albab, the people of intelligence, Allah Ta'ala say, only they will really take admonition, they will take nasihat, they will take some lessons. It will not be just a recitation of ayats for them. They will be conscious of the fact that the Quran Sharif was revealed for guidance. So therefore they will take lessons. They will heed the advices. So who doesn't know that namaz is first 5 times a day? Who doesn't know that wine and women who are haram for the person, it is haram to associate with them, to go to the cinemas, discos, theatres, who doesn't? But no matter how much of bayans take place, no matter how much of nasihats are given, but do we find everybody abstaining? Recently on Jummah occasions and other occasions, different masajids everywhere in the country, they are talking to the youngsters, talking to the school boys and girls, talking to adults and talking to men and women, that these holidays must be spent correctly, don't engage and indulge in haram. What percentage of people really took the advice? What percentage of people really heeded the advice? So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that only those people who have got intelligence will heed the advice. That means if they're not heeding the advice, if there are people like us who are still negligent, indifferent, unconcerned, or we just take it in from one ear and out from the other, then it means we are not from the ulul albab, from the people of understanding. In the eye of Allah Ta'ala, no matter how many chains of degrees the person may have, and how much of qualification, and how much of scholarships, or how much is recognized in the world as a great academic, but he is not the person whom Allah Ta'ala considers as from the ulul albab, from the people of intelligence, people of understanding. So if Allah Ta'ala says they are not from that category, so therefore he gives us a description of the attributes of those people who are the ulul albab. Allah Ta'ala says that these people who take advice, who heed the nasihat, are the ulul albab, people of understanding. So therefore he explains to us who are the people that are of understanding. And that's where last week we explained to some extent, الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُذُونَ الْمِيثَاقَ. The pledge that they made with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they fulfill that pledge. The terms of that pledge are that we must be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. That we will be obedient. We will not give preference to our wishes, our desires, our fantasies, our will. We will give preference or priority to the fulfillment of the hukam and the law and the command of Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Or in the alame arwah, in the world of the souls, we said when we were questioned, Alastu bi Rabbikum. Allah Ta'ala asked, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? Qalu bala. Said, definitely, most certainly, O Allah, you are our Rabb. Allah Ta'ala didn't say, am I not your Allah? Am I not your Razzaq? Am I not your any other sifat of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala mentioned rububiyat. so that the person understands that we are 24 hours of the day in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to keep us surviving. And that from the time that we came into this world until the time that we leave, day and night Allah ta'ala is showering His bounties upon us. 9 months in the mother's stomach also, who is the one that sustained us? Who is the one that gave us all our faculties? Who blessed us with our sight, hearing, speech, understanding? Allah ta'ala is saying, I am the one who is your sustainer. Children in this world, we regard our parents as our sustainers. Little children, if you ask them who sustains you, they will say my parents. Because that's what they are seeing. The parents are going, or the father goes, he works somewhere, brings some money and buys some vegetables, some groceries, some food, and it is given to the children to eat. So if you ask the child who is sustaining you, he says my parents. Because that's what he is seeing. But as he grows up, then he understands that it is Allah Ta'ala who is the real sustainer. But since the parents do the majazi sustaining, as we say, therefore look at the rights that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to them. And children also, they are so attached. If the parents are also loving, caring, compassionate, they are concerned about the education, the proper upbringing, the tarbiyah of those children, they give them the best of deen also. Not only dunya. Give them the best of deen and dunya. Then those children will love them. Those children cannot part from them. Those children miss those parents. But unfortunately in these days, and parents themselves have become so corrupt. Because they have given their hearts to so many other things, they do not have the prime time for the children anymore. Or their whole attitude is not what should have been of a true Muslim father. So therefore the children also do not seem to have that kind of love anymore. But whatever it may be, the children, for them it is still their parents. They must respect them. They do not have to obey and do those things which are haram and forbidden. They have to obey Allah Ta'ala. But as far as respect is concerned, we have to still show respect. We discussed at length Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's nasihat to his father. How beautifully Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam repeatedly says, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. Wazkur fil kitab Ibrahim, innahu kana suddiqan nabiyya. Iz qala li abihi, Ya Abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni anka shay'an. Ya Abati, inni qad ja'ani min al-ilm ma lam ya'tik, fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiyya. He goes on like that, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. So we're not going in the direction now. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Alladhina yufuna bi ahdillahi wa la yanquduna al-mithaq. This pledge that we have made to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that we are going to obey Him. So Allah Ta'ala says, those who are intelligent, those who are people of understanding, they obey Allah Ta'ala. They fulfill that pledge. So if a person is not fulfilling that pledge, then it means that he is not a person of intelligence. No matter how much we may tell and say that this person has got great amount of intelligence, great amount of understanding, but not in the eye of the Creator. And what is important is in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, what is his status and position. Not in the eye of the people. The people, they are not going to come to our help in the Akhirat, in the Qabr. So obedience to Allah Ta'ala, they fulfill that pledge. The terms of that contract that they have made, that pledge that they have made. And then the Mufassirin have said that يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقُ وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقُ. They don't break that mithaq, that pledge. It is also general application. That means with whomsoever we have any kind of pledge, any kind of agreement, then the fulfillment of that agreement, the terms of that agreement, there's so much of emphasis حضرت قتادہ رضی اللہ تعالی حضرت قتادہ and many others, they have written so much on it. And they said that there's 20 places in the Quran Sharif Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has emphasized the fulfillment of pledges and promises and agreements. 20 places. No, on nothing else has Allah ta'ala revealed so much of us as on this fulfillment of pledge and promise and agreements. And that is our weakness in these days when there's so much of buying and selling. There's a season of buying and selling. How much of agreements will be entered into and how much of agreements will be broken? How much of pledges and promises will be made and how much will be broken? Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that with regards to agreement, whether he's a Muslim or non-Muslim, there's no difference. Person made a promise to a non-Muslim, does it mean that he's allowed now to break that promise? I'm talking about those promises or those pledges which are Sharia compliant. If he promised some non-Muslim that I will meet you there in the casino or disco or cinema, then of course we are not discussing those issues. Person made some purchase, he made some agreement. He bought a property, he made some agreement. Bought goods, he made agreement. Now all these kind of agreements, whether he's a Muslim or not Muslim, it has to be fulfilled. In the same way, when it comes to amanat and trust, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says there's no distinction that this amanat, if it is of a Muslim, then we must return it. And if the trust is of a non-Muslim, then we must digest it. Muslim or non-Muslim, what is an amanat? It has to be returned. If the person is a trustee of something belonging to a non-Muslim, he still has to return it. Look at Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was left behind by Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at such a time when his life was in great danger. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was making hijrat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his being so truthful, so trustworthy, so people used to leave their amanat, they used to come and keep things by him in trust. Now when he was making hijrat, his house was surrounded by enemies. They were all armed. They had their swords ready that the moment Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam steps out of the house, they were going to assassinate him. And they made sure that they got lots of other tribes, each one's leaders there, so that the blame doesn't fall on one person. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala saved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from, he walked out, they didn't even see him. But the point there is that he left Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala on his bed. That in the morning he must return the amanats of the people. What lesson Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us. To return the amanat of those people who are outside ready to take his neck off, na'uzu billah, to assassinate him. So he must return their amanat, their trust, give it back to them. Anybody else would have said, what other opportunity can there be to take all this trust property and disappear? As it is, they are our enemies. So there is no distinction when it comes to amanat. There is no distinction. As far as this fulfillment of pledges and promises, the different ahadiths, inshallah, some other time we will discuss, and we have discussed quite a bit in different programs. But we just want to proceed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَسْعِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلَ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. And those who join that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has ordered that it should be joined. That means these family relationships, whatever Allah ta'ala has ordered, that they should be maintained, kinship should be maintained, family relationship should be maintained, the bonds should remain tight, there should be no severing of these bonds. So these people who are intelligent, who are aqalman, who are of understanding, then they fulfill this command of Allah Ta'ala to keep those ties. These days we are of the opinion that if somebody has to do good to us, then we must be good. And if somebody has misbehaved, somebody hasn't been good to us, then irrespective of who that person is, the person can be a father, can be mother, can be sister, can be wife, can be children, can be aunt or uncle. But we say, he wasn't good to me. When I required some assistance and help, he never gave me. And he spoke bad about me. He did this to me and he did that to me. In other words, only if they do good to us, then we will be good to them. If the family members, the relatives, the kith and kin, if they are good to us, then we will be good to them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Laysa al-wasilu bil muqabil. The person who says equitable kind of giving, that if you are good, then I am good. That is not a wasil. He is not maintaining ties. Maintenance of ties will mean that irrespective of what that person does, we will show our akhlaq. After that, if the person still behaves arrogantly or behaves like an insane person or mad person, doesn't want to forgive, and false accusations and lies, then finish after that, leave it to Allah Ta'ala. He will deal with the person appropriately. But we should not say that only if somebody is good to us in the family relationships that we have to maintain, then we will be good. Because the moment the person is born in this world, immediately look at the chain of people that he is now related to. So many people. Someone is his father, someone is his mother, someone is his aunt, someone uncle, someone brother, someone sister, someone grandmother, someone grandfather, so many different family relationships. So then people say, how are we going to maintain all these family relationships? As it is, we don't have time to even eat nowadays. Time runs so fast, we can't keep pace. So how are we going to keep these family relationships, going and visiting everybody? So a person has to start visiting every aunt, every uncle, every niece, every nephew. So will he have time for anything? And then there are distant relatives, close relatives. And then there are some in South Africa, some in Canada, some in America, some in China, some in Japan and Timbuktu and other parts of the world. So now we say, now you must go meet each and every family member. That is what it means by maintaining family ties. So can anybody do that? Doesn't mean that. It means that keep the doors of family relationships open. Those people who are close, then alhamdulillah, meet them occasionally. Don't have any grudge at heart. If you meet them, make salam. Welcome them if they come to your house. And you visit them, they should welcome you. There should be no kind of malice. There should be no arrogance. The attitude must be right. That's all. Now and again, phone those who are close to you. It doesn't mean that the person has to be now traveling to and fro everywhere, all parts of the world, and his whole life will go in travels only. So they don't snap those ties, they don't break those ties, they do not, out of grudge or hatred or malice, break those ties. But then, as I explained last week, that it does not mean that all ties must be maintained. Among the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmaeen, the companions also, we get incidents where they broke up ties and they didn't speak lifelong. So it must be a genuine, valid Sharia reason for the sake of deen. If the person is not prepared to accept any teaching of Islam, the person finds problems with the ayat of the Quran Sharif, as we were replying to one email this morning. This is finding problems. One of the family members with the ayat and the verses of the Quran Sharif. It's very difficult in these times to apply. Or any other kind of un-Islamic practices they are engaging in, indulging in, then at that time find a good excuse and move away. And if you have the himmat and courage and the hikmah and wisdom to advise, then advise, give nasihat. And if they reject you, then accept it. Now those places where we should not be really concerned about family tie, we should be concerned about Allah Ta'ala's hukam and order, at that time we will say family tie. So we have to be very, very careful. But this is a general application that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, the person who wants a risk, or the gist or the meaning of their hadith sharif, the person who wants barakat in his risk, Allah Ta'ala must give him more, abundance. Allah Ta'ala must provide him sufficiently. He wants barakat. and he was the prolongation of life. In other words, barakat in his life also. Then he must be good to his family members. That is where the test is. It is easier to give some friends. Friends, we will say, give it to them because they are our friends. But the family members will say that I am his family member, I am his brother. Or the woman will say, I am the sister. Or the aunt will say, I am the aunt. Or the uncle will say, I am the uncle. I have a right to. But when I ask him for any help and assistance, then he turns his face away. Therefore, the Zainul Abideen, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he advised his son, Hazrat Baqir. He said, five kinds of people, don't associate with them. Of course, it was very hard, but there was great meaning to what he said. He said, don't associate with them. Don't even walk with them. Don't sit with them. Because I have found curses of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in five places in the Quran Sharif on them. And some have mentioned three places. But there's an explanation why five, we're not going into that detail. But the fact is, he said that those five people, some of that he mentioned, the first one he said that don't associate with the person who is immoral. The person who is a fasiq, the person who is a transgressor. The person who is disobedient to Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Just give you an explanation. So now such kind of a person, he said, don't associate with that person. Because he will sell you for a morsel of food. So when they asked him, how can he sell a person for a morsel of food? He says, in the hope that he will get a morsel, he will sell you away. And then he might not even get that one morsel. Because he's got no khawf-e khuda. The person has got no khawf-e khuda, no fikr-e akhirat. Then what is he going to be concerned? So the friendship of that person is going to be very, very detrimental. Then he said, don't befriend a person who is miserly. Because a miserly person, when you are in need, that's the time he will turn away. He's going to reject. And the miserly person knows that this friend of mine now requires some assistance and help, some financial help. And then you'll find all kinds of excuses. The miserly person will find all kinds of excuses. Now when you need him, that's the time he will reject you. Then he said, don't befriend a liar. Because the liar will make things that are distant appear very close to you. And things which are close appear very far away. Liar, he said, the person who lies is a very dangerous person to befriend. Very, very dangerous. Because you do not know what to believe. He will tell you the east is west and west is east. When it's darkness, he will say it's bright daylight. And bright daylight, he'll say darkness. Person who lies is a very dangerous person. So therefore he gave his son nasihat. He said, don't befriend liars. And we can get to know the person after a few lies he speaks. You can catch up, this person is a first class liar. Then he said, don't befriend a person who is a fool, a stupid person. He said, a foolish person and a stupid person, he will try to help you. He wants to help you. But instead of helping you, he will be the cause of major problems for you. And that is again another dangerous friend. That he is a friend. At heart he is a friend. But he's stupid, he's foolish. So therefore the kind of statements that he makes and the kind of conduct that he displays and the kind of dealings that he does and the kind of things that he says, what happens is that he wants to be of some benefit to you. But instead he is of great harm to you. Because what he is going to say is going to cause great problems for you. And this has happened in the life of most of our Akabiri, most of our pious and righteous elders. This is what has happened. Lots of people in muhabbat, they say certain things, they attribute certain statements to that those mashayikh, or they quote them, which is very, very incorrect quote. Hazrat said this, Maulana said this, Shaykh said this, so-and-so said this. In the meantime, he never said this. Or they totally misunderstand what he had to say. So this person may be trying to show some kind of muhabbat, but in the meantime, what he is saying, causes major problems. The people say that, how can he say a thing like that? How can he be teaching them things like this? Yet he never said that. So therefore, Hazrat Zainul Abidin Rahmatullah Alayhi says that don't befriend a foolish person, a stupid person. Because that stupid person, foolish person wants to be of benefit, but instead is going to be of harm. Therefore, Hazrat Isa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam said that you can change everybody. But a stupid person, you can't change. So Hazrat Zainul Abidin Rahmatullah Alayhi, what a beautiful nasihat he gave. That don't befriend those liars. And don't befriend the person who is stupid and foolish. And then finally, said, don't befriend those people who have broken off family ties. Because I have seen in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala's curses upon such people. And that is what is just being discussed here. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. So Allah Ta'ala has asked us to maintain those ties. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala, I mentioned this on some other occasion also, that he said, we were sitting in the plains of Arafat with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hujjaj are returning and all, and many have returned, and Hajj is over, so therefore it is appropriate also. He says, we are sitting in Arafat. Now everyone knows that Shaitan finds himself most rejected, in the plains of Arafat, when he sees the Hujjaj engaged in dua and shedding tears before Allah Ta'ala, and knowing the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala showering upon those people. So Shaitan feels very rejected. But now listen to what Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abi Awfar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states. They were sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now our Haji sahiban, they will sit in the company of the other Hujjaj, or some ulama, some mashayikh of our time. They were sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that if there is anybody here who has broken family ties, then he must get up and leave this congregation. Give you the mafhum of the hadith. 124,000 companions. This is what amazes, honestly it amazes. And there was no question of lies. Not that the others were sitting there and they were lying. Look at their honesty and truthfulness. Which companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have lied? They knew that the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam will come and inform him immediately that there are so many people here who are engaging in this sin or that sin. There was no question of lying there. So only one person gets up from that congregation. Only one. What kind of a society Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had built up? What kind of akhlaq came into the companions' lives? That fragrance of the sohbat and company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam they had imbibed. Therefore any companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if somebody had to associate with him, then you will see that kindness, you will see that honesty, that truthfulness. There was one brother that was introduced to me just a little while ago before I came for this program here, in the office there, just after Maghrib. He reverted to Islam, he's from Italy. Now this is exactly what I told him. I said, it is so sad, but it is true. It's unfortunate, but we have to tell you. That if you want to understand Islam today, we can't tell you that look at the Muslims and accept and understand and follow and practice. It's so difficult. In the majority of the Muslim ummah, you will find many, many un-Islamic practices. So you will become very confused. And you will say, now, what is Islam? So we have to tell you now, read the books. Read this book, read that book, and you will find Islam. Whereas the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no question of going to read the books and understand Islam. Each and every companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the book. How we have different pages of a book, like that each and every companion was a book. Now it just depends which page you want to turn to, or which chapter you want to look at, which subheading or heading you want to look at, you will find it. Honesty, truthfulness, salat, zakat, iman, yaqeen, jihad, sacrifice, everything you will find it in their lives. Therefore, many a times the companion, when somebody came into Medina Sharif and he met some companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his very first meeting he thought this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. When he saw the akhlaq of that person. So we have to say this, that now you don't look at the Muslim, you look at the kitab and the books. Of course there are exceptions, we're not talking about exceptions. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that 124,000 people there, just one person gets up and leaves the congregation. Just one. After some time he comes back. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks him that, where did you go? He said, I was not in talking terms with my aunt. Something must have happened and I was not in talking terms with her. He said, I went to her and I explained to her what you said. So I asked her to forgive me. She forgave me, I forgave her. We patched up, we reconciled, we bonded, and then I came back. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam congratulated him. He did the right thing. He said, because we were going to make dua, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not accept the dua. For Allah ta'ala's rahmat and mercy does not descend on a people amongst whom there are people that are not in talking terms with family members. Again, I repeat that if it is because of deen, because of sharia, because of Quran and sunnah, a person did not participate in a wedding function in where there was music and dancing and all kinds of haram things that were taking place, and the person says, well, you didn't come, so therefore I'm not going to talk to you lifelong. You don't even come to my janaza namaz also. So then I always say that those who say, don't come to my janaza also. So will this person pick up his head from the janaza and check now who came? All those that he said mustn't come, will he check? Are they there? So nothing wrong. You must attend the janaza salat. He's not going to pick up his head from there and check you out and say why you came. Lifetime he can say. So from your side you may say, well look, that was a sharia hukam, but my door is open for you and I ask you for forgiveness for any offense. But of course I don't apologize for having not participated in something that was haram. So that is a different issue. But I'm talking about those things, for little trivial things over which people just break up all kinds of association. Somebody asked for a loan and he didn't give, so finish, don't talk lifelong. Someone didn't attend the grandfather's fourth wedding, so he said, now finish. Grandfather lost his first grand event, second grand event, third one went, now fourth one. Now. But because of that, now don't talk to him lifelong. Why you didn't come for the wedding? Birthday parties, this party, that party, I don't know how many different parties. And the person didn't attend nothing. Find some excuse for it. There must be some reason why the person didn't come. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran Sharif, he has cursed such people who break their family ties. So therefore that Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, congratulated him. And there are many other incidents of a similar nature. Now if just one person who has broken family ties, this is the consequence of that. And look at our societies. Look at the large number of people. And we gather in Eidgahs, we gather by the thousands. Jummah masajid are packed. And especially in Hajj, millions are there. Now amongst the millions, if there are so many who have left their countries and left their hometowns and districts and provinces and pitched up there on Arafat, but they have no intention of any kind of reconciliation, or they have broken family ties for trivial reasons, not for sharia reasons. Now they're raising their hands and they're shedding tears and crying and begging of Allah Ta'ala, and here we are informed by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah Ta'ala does not send down his rahmat. So how important it is. We must have a large heart, we must accommodate, we must learn to tolerate Therefore, that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh says, the friend, he must be an intelligent person. First of all, he must be intelligent. If you want to make a friend, then choose an intelligent person. And here we are discussing who are the intelligent people, people of understanding. But of course, he gives his explanation that together with that intelligence, the person must have good akhlaq. Because he may be very intelligent, but he hasn't got good akhlaq. He hasn't got good character. So what is the purpose of that intelligence? We say that person is very, very intelligent. He was in my class and he was most brilliant. That person is a brilliant physician. That person is a brilliant Mufti Sahib. Is a brilliant Qari Sahib. Is a brilliant Maulana Sahib. Is a brilliant Haji Sahib. Is brilliant in what? Is brilliant in his business. Is brilliant in his reading. Is brilliant in his academic work. Is brilliant in his manufacture. And is brilliant in his production and invention. So he may be brilliant in that. And we may term him as very intelligent. But he says he must have good akhlaq. If he doesn't have good akhlaq, then what will happen is that the wife will say one thing, then he will say one dozen things, and that marriage will snap. The person is brilliant, he's very intelligent, but he can't control his anger. He can't manage his anger. His anger has got no limit. His fuse snaps and blows every little while. And suddenly he becomes the most brilliant terrorist in the home, a monster in the house. So is there any benefit in that intelligence? What is the benefit of that intelligence? So he says the person must also have good akhlaq. He must be honest, he must be truthful, he must have patience, he must have taqwa in his life. He must have tolerance, he must not be jealous, he must not be envious. He must not have pride and arrogance. So now this is also important, he says, together with that intelligence. And then to emphasize even further, he says, the person must also not be an immoral person. As Hazrat Zainul Abidin Rahmatullah Ali stated, so Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali says, the person must not be an immoral person. A person can be a great academic, he can be a brilliant sportsman, the person in when it comes to science and when it comes to geography and botany and history and everything else, or in other aspects of life, is brilliant. But this person is immoral. There's no namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, nothing in his life. He drinks, he gambles, he womanizes, he's on the porn sites of the internet. The person is engaged in so many other haram. So then what is the purpose of that intelligence? So he must not be immoral also. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj. To khushi phir iski kya hai, ke koi gent hai, to koi judge. How many times you've heard this now? Akbar Allah Wali. No namaz, roza, zakat in the person's life. Then what happiness do we get if you say that so-and-so is a justice, chief justice. This person is a cabinet minister. This person is a prime minister. This person is a president of the country. This person is the king and ruler of the kingdom. Or different titles people will have. But if he doesn't have iman in him, doesn't have yaqeen in him, doesn't have risalat, belief in him, the person doesn't believe in akhirat, in day of judgment, in resurrection, he doesn't even believe in the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then what is the benefit of all those degrees and qualifications? In this world, it will help the person to some extent. But everlasting life, will it help? So we will show them outward respect that is required when they are holding such position. But at heart, we are not allowed to give any kind of esteem to such kind of people. This is our weakness. The moment the person has got some kind of ta'alluq, as we say, with somebody in a high position, even though he doesn't have iman, doesn't have yaqeen, doesn't have no faith and belief, then we say, this person, how fortunate, what kind of contact he has got, contact. How many people whom we believed that they had the highest position, and those who had contact with them were also very, very fortunate and very lucky. But the person also went to the gallows, and those who had very close contact, they also went to the gallows. All ended in prison. Both were. So our real contact and ta'alluq must be with our Allah. Allah. Real ta'alluq must be with Him. After that, in this world, which is a world of means, then everyone has got a certain position, and we have to show some kind of outward respect for those positions. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam treated everybody in accordance with his position. But to have that muhabbat at heart, and that great love and liking, and that desire that I wish I too was in that person's position, was at such contact. We should think of how much of contact we have with those who are the awliya ikram, the waliullahs, our great, great mashayikh. The level of our contact with them is going to benefit us in this world and in the akhirah.
Isi ahle dil ki sohbat jo mili kisi ko akhtar, kisi ahle dil ki sohbat jo mili kisi ko akhtar, use aa gaya hai jeena, use aa gaya hai marna, use aa gaya hai jeena, use aa gaya hai marna. Mujhe kuch khabar nahi thi tera dard kya hai ya rab, tere aashiqon se seekha tere sang dard pe marna.
They will teach us how to live in this world and how to die. Where can we learn this anywhere else? Those whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with His muhabbat, with His closeness, with His bond, with His yaqeen, with His ma'rifat, with His love, then they will teach us the love of Allah Ta'ala. How to give our lives for Allah Ta'ala. How to sacrifice and suppress those evil desires that surface in the heart. We will not give ourselves to nafs and shaitan. So therefore, Zainul Abidin Rahmatullah Alayhi, what he said, that Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi also mentions the same thing. He said that don't befriend the immoral person. But I would like to caution you that at that time we should not think that that person cannot change. We should think that I'm not befriending him because I am weak. We should think the other way around, that I am weak. If I am going to befriend him, I will get influenced. So therefore it is my weakness. That person, he could make tawbah tomorrow, tonight, any part of the day or night, he can change his life. But if I have to befriend and get those bad qualities and evil qualities in me, then I will destroy myself because I don't have the himmat and courage to then come out. A person befriends some immoral person, and then he took him for the first time to the casino, and he got addicted to casino. He took him for the first time, or gave him for the first time some drug, and now he became addicted to the drug habit. Sometime he gave him a zol and say, have one pull. So that one pull pulled him so much that he really got pulled after that. After that he kept on pulling. So it was the company of the person that he couldn't resist. So it's our weakness. I conclude that if we are weak, so then we must be very, very careful even when we are going to those places where there is indulgence in haram. Unless we have the himmat and the courage to go and make nasihat and pull them out,
Don't go at that time. Wait for the people to come out and then find the appropriate occasion to talk to them. Otherwise you will end up like that person that went to make nasihat in a bar where people were drinking. He said, I'm going to go and pull them out, take them out from their drink and their alcohol. So the poet says, Raat pirwa is bala noshon ku sam jaane gaye, main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchaane gaye. Last night that wise went to pull the people out. When he came out from the bar, the wobble in his walk showed that this person also went for a ride inside there. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the himmat, the courage and the strength to give up all those things that are displeasing to him. Inshallah we will continue if Allah ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sahbihi. My beloved Allah, my Rahim, Allah, Kareem, Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, no part of our life is straight. We are full of deficiencies, weaknesses, shortcomings, sins, vices, evils. We use the sight for haram, our speech for haram, listening to haram. Our heart and mind, so much of fantasizing of haram. Distances, my beloved Allah, from nafs and shaitan. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no one for us besides you, my Allah. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Don't let the angel of death visit us in any kind of haram, please. Or any kind of haram action. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, physically ill. Whosoever is sick and ailing, whether in hospitals, clinics, homes, amongst us, is everyone with shifa. Ya Allah, remove all the difficulties, the pain, the suffering, the hardship of mankind around the globe, and especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, popping drugs in our mouth, adultery, fornication, watching haram on the TV, or any kind of haram action. Take us to Medina for you. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection. Protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwab. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.